Susan Jacoby is the author of the surprising New York Times bestseller, The Age of American Unreason. Combining historical analysis with contemporary observations, Jacoby dissects a new American phenomenon, the anti-rationalist landscape extending from pop culture to what she terms junk thought. In the first of a multi-part interview, we spoke with Susan Jacoby earlier this week and kidded her about the irony of her book, in which she ridicules American thought, is actually on the New York Times bestseller list.
Actually, the New York Times bestseller list is a pretty broad compilation. It includes Amazon and so on. But I will tell you, nobody could be more surprised than I am. I thought that this was going to be my usual book, Critical Success, Commercial Failure. I'm actually encouraged by this. I mean, not just personally, because I want my book to do well, which, by the way, is called The Age of American Unreason. It's because it's obvious that there are more people who are concerned about this subject than I thought there were. Particularly, I've been getting huge numbers of emails from parents of young children saying they're really concerned about the impact of the video culture on children and very aware that probably the first 6 years of life are the only control parents really have over what goes into their kids' brains or bodies.
Absolutely. Let's tell people, yeah, we are speaking with Susan Jacoby, the author of The Age of American Unreason. And Susan Jacoby, the erosion of intellectual standards, I think some people say, and you certainly posit in your book, could be harmful to a democracy. I mean, are we seeing this in the fact that part of the support for the Iraq War, people think, was that the Bush administration somehow conflated Saddam Hussein with 9/11, which, of course, we all know was false, and yet you had some support for that war based on a lie, if you will. And even now, in our current presidential race, I saw a poll last week. I think it was a Pew poll or Gallup poll that showed 10% of the public believes Barack Obama is Muslim. So these things where we're missing in our culture, I mean, they actually have a real effect on our democracy, do they not?
They do. And I saw a poll that shocked me even more last week on the 5th anniversary of the Iraq War, that only 28% of Americans have any idea of how many American casualties there have been there, which is now over 4,000. I think that that's absolutely amazing. And obviously, if people don't know even basic facts, forget about the things that we can dispute. You can know the facts and still come to a different conclusion. But if you don't know the facts, for example, if you don't know a Shiite from a Sunni, as John McCain doesn't seem to, and a huge number of Americans don't, how can you have an informed public debate on anything if there are just very basic things that you don't know? And I think that this plays out. People talk often about the political culture as though it's different from our culture as a whole, but it really isn't. The soundbite culture in which the views of presidential candidates about anything are distilled into about 5 seconds, that is our attention span, really. There's a reason why even political commercials are much shorter than they used to be, because it reflects the estimate of political consultants of how long people will pay attention. Now, I've had a lot of talk show hosts ask me, you know, because I am a liberal Democrat, but that has nothing to do with this, because they've asked me, do I think the Bush administration is responsible for dumbing down America? No, I do not. I think that we get the government we deserve and the government we think about to elect.
Well, picking up on that, just the other day, New York Times columnist Nicholas Kristof, who mentioned your book in his column the other day, he wrote that with George Bush's presidency so discredited here 7 years in, that maybe this cycle, which, of course, as you write in your book, has been a part of American tradition, but this most recent cycle of anti-intellectualism in America in its current form may have run its course a bit. Do you think that's a bit too optimistic or what?
I think that is a bit too optimistic, and I think that this is more than just the cyclical anti-intellectualism that Richard Hofstadter, the brilliant historian, wrote about in 1963. What I tried to do is pick up where Hofstadter left off, and what seems to me different about this new cycle, if it is a cycle, is that it's really propped up by a popular culture of 24/7 infotainment. I think we've all gotten so used to it that we've forgotten that this is the first time in human history, and it's only been for the last 10 years, that if we choose to do so, we can carry around our entertainment, the stuff that comes into our ears, the iPhones, the all of the things, the iPods, all of the things that can keep us entertained and keep noise coming into our ears and video coming into our eyes. We can have that 24 hours a day if we choose to. And I'll tell you, if you ride the buses in New York City, you know that a lot of people choose to. It's not just that Americans aren't reading books, and half of Americans, according to the National Endowment for the Arts under 44, didn't read a single book last year. It's that also the spaces for thoughts to percolate, for a little bit of quiet, are being taken away in our culture, or rather they're being ceded by us. I really am a believer in look in the mirror if you want to find out who's to blame.